Gerard Mayo this morning. Tennessee Titans are like the Patriots. They suck, just like the Patriots do.
True.
A team that can't really get out of its own way like the Patriots are. We'll do a preview of this game coming up here because it is another winnable game on a schedule that didn't seem to have a lot of those coming into the season. That Miami game, a winnable game. The Bengals game, they actually won. Jets game wasn't a winnable game to me, I didn't think. And now here you have the Tennessee Titans. The Jaguars also should have been a winnable game. It wasn't. They lost by four scores, but whatever. Now here you have these Tennessee Titans who are struggling this year. Could it be a get-right game for them? Can the Patriots continue their winning ways? We'll get into all of that in just a minute. But first, if you're watching on Twitch, you just saw this. I was unaware that this poll even went up. If I had known, I would have voted in it. But the people in the Twitch chat just put up a poll asking, who would win in a fight, me or you?
I like the results.
It was a
little closer than it should be.
Very close race. 45 people voted. I can't vote because I didn't know about it, but if I did, I would have made it. Would have been back to 50-50, 23-23.
Arkin was in the Twitch chat.
I was in the Twitch chat, but then I missed the poll. I didn't see the poll.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because I missed it too, so... Then I
Arkin took boxing lessons.
Yeah, you would have done it too. Yeah, when I was younger, I did. I took boxing lessons.
Not really, but
it was a long time ago, so I know the basics. I told you about the bar fight I was in college.
Oh, yeah.
So I have experienced the fight. I don't know when the last fight you were in was, but...
Been a long time.
It's probably been a while. I have the height and the reach.
Yeah, height and reach all day.
You're in better shape, but not by that much. I mean, let's be honest here. You know,
wait, what?
You like to think you're in just
I'm in much
great
better
shape. You're in pretty good shape, but come on.
Is this just boxing? I wasn't listening. Was this just boxing or is this
It said
just,
who would win in a fist fight, so maybe not necessarily boxing. Okay. A fight could mean all different sorts of things. Might be some ground and pound, you know, a little kickboxing.
Yeah.
Not much of a kicker. I got these two guys right here. What else do you need? That's
Harry
pretty much
Hardo
it. So.
Over here. If you're not watching on Twitch, he held his fists up.
Yes, that's right. Or as I like to call him, Mike and Evander.
Jesus.
That's what they're really named.
You just told me you weren't actually good at boxing.
No, back then I wasn't, but I think now I could probably, I don't know. I see, if you and I fought, I would imagine it would have to be some sort of angry argument that went too far, and then all of a sudden it was just, all right, let's just go. You know,
Swayman.
You and me right now. Here it comes. All right, Swayman. Whatever other topic that may come up this year that pisses us both off. Something like that. So in a moment like that, like if we're talking about a fight that we both trained for a couple months for or something like that, I don't know. I don't know how that would go. But I think in the heat of the moment, it would be, I don't know, it'd be tough. I don't think you'd be able to take me down quite as easily as you think.
Well, I don't actually think I would because I generally don't assume I'm going to get into a fist fight ever. So I'm assuming you'd throw the first punch and it would catch me off guard and you might have an advantage.
That could
tactically.
Be, yeah. Whoever throws a sucker punch generally ends
right.
up.
You know, because if we actually had a boxing match, we'd both go in knowing punches are going
right.
to start flying at some point.
Right, yeah.
All I can remember, I've never boxed. Like I've had whatever, fights, scraps, locker rooms, different things. But one time at a party in high school when people were whatever, doing things, we found boxing gloves, and we were like, yeah, let's spar. And I took it way too serious. I lit the kid up.
Really?
Like, we were just kind of, and he, like, did something that pissed me off, and I, like, threw him up with the gloves against the wall and just started swinging.
Started wailing,
like,
huh?
That's what happens every
being
time.
Being a total a-hole.
Every time you and your friend start shadow boxing, someone gets
absolutely.
Nicked,
and then it gets real,
gets
real quick. Absolutely.
Yes.
So
I had older cousins who, when we got together on the holidays, used to make me and my younger cousins fight each other.
I'm glad that went to fighting. I was worried that was like a much weirder and sadder story.
What?
I had older cousins that used to make us do things in the closet. I don't talk about it anymore.
You had cousins?
No! That's where I thought you were going.
Why would I do that in the middle
of a conversation?
I don't know.
It sounded very
about
sad.
Fighting and
you
fighting
were very sad. I thought it was going to be a revealing.
It was not anything like that. No, but we used to have to box each other. They'd put us down in my grandparents' basement or whatever, and we'd have to either we had boxing gloves or we'd make boxing gloves or something, and we'd have to fight.
You made them? What, with like socks and tape or something?
Yeah, it would be like a grocery bag. And then we'd put, like, you know, socks or sweats or something, like, around that. And then we'd tie them up and we'd punch each other. Yeah.
This couldn't end well. Did anybody ever get hurt?
One time, they declared a draw. And my older cousin, Joey,
wait,
I was
there was
mad
an official?
Yes. He was the one that was in charge of it all. And I was mad at him for calling a draw. So I punched him. And he grabbed me and he slammed me into the ceiling. It was the basement of my grandparents' house. Very low ceiling. He slammed me into the ceiling and then let me drop on the ground. And I had the wind knocked out of me. and I thought I was, I never had the wind knocked out of me before.
Oh, it's such a strange
feeling. Oh, you
think
you're going to die.
I thought I was going to die right there on my grandparents' basement floor, but I didn't. I survived.
He must have been pretty strong if he picked you up above his slam.
I mean, I was like 8 years old.
This is like a wrestling finish move.
I was 8 and he was like 15, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, it was.
Oh, what a dink.
I shouldn't have punched him. I learned a lesson that day. You know, he was the ref and I punched him and he didn't like that, so I had the wind knocked out of me.
You did learn a lesson, which I think is a lesson that needs to be learned by more in this world.
It's true.
There can be repercussions.
That is something.
Now, I'm not sure the guy should have done a finishing move on you in the basement.
No, but I learned. I learned my lesson.
Sometimes you got to give people the rock bottom.
When you should and should not punch people. That was a time when you shouldn't punch somebody. But, you know, I mean, it's you can't always keep track of that in the heat of the moment. That's the thing.
Oh, no.
Sometimes it just gets a tiger gets out of the cage. You know?
Absolutely. And usually there's alcohol involved, too.
Generally, yes. Or
like Derek White at a Colorado
debate
game.
About that too. Or a debate about a goalie and how much he should be paid. Sometimes, you know, it just gets
it's funny.
Too,
I only thought you were going to. You were only going to swear. I didn't know I had to be ready for you to hit me.
Yeah, there's
although we couldn't even do it here.
No, we have to like come out around.
And by the time you got around, it'd be weird.
I'd be cooled off by
or
then.
Or if you came across the computers, I don't know.
We'd break the computer screens.
Yeah.
We'd be at about $50 if we broke all these screens. Anyway, 617.
Afternoon program would have no monitors. What would host one and host two do?
I don't know. 617-779-7937. Who would you rather be right now, Pats or the Titans?
Patriots.
Yeah.
It's always Patriots, the quarterback. The Patriots right now, you could argue, have one of the better young quarterback. Now, it could go awry because we're basing it on two games and one quarter of action. He's already got a couple dings here, but he's playing really well.
Yep.
And like I even think there's some people in Chicago that aren't totally sold on Caleb Williams, what his total package is. Because Drake May has
I'd still rather be the Bears than the Patriots, though.
Oh, the Bears, but I'm just talking about the quarterback position.
Okay.
And like, the Jets with Aaron Rodgers. There's veterans that other teams would probably say, if you made somebody, like held a gun to somebody's head in a lot of places, Drake May or your guy, how many teams would make the switch?
I'd say a good amount of them would. The Titans definitely would.
And he's hot. You're buying high on Drake May right now.
A small sample. It's like Gonzalez last year, you know? He's the greatest corner of all time. He played 3 games. Like,
right.
Sort of where you are.
You're kind of being snookered. I would not feel great about that if I were the team. But the reality is, what are they doing in Tennessee? Will Levis is benched.
Yep.
They're playing freaking Mason Rudolph.
Yep. Tony Pollard's not been great. Ridley's been good. Ridley had a big game last week.
Well, he sucked, and now he's been good.
Their ass kicked, but yeah.
I think that was a shot by Mayo today. Because remember when he was bitching, Ridley was bitching about no targets?
About not getting targeted.
He's like, he gets targeted all the time, and he doesn't even get targeted when he's opening. So I think Mayo was trying to do a kid. Jason Kidd. I think he was trying to add to a divide in the locker room in Tennessee. Well played, Gerard. I saw what you did.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. Now that Hopkins is gone, it's not like he has to share the ball with anybody. Like, you know,
no, but you got a bad quarterback.
It's true. You do have a bad quarterback.
So he might not see you. He might not hit you when he does see you. Like, there's a lot of ways it could go bad.
I think their roster's a little bit better. I'd say that their roster up and down, offense and defense, I'd say is probably a little bit better than the Patriots. Not a lot better.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Sure.
I should probably know the answer to this, but I got nothing. And I may be concussed. I may not be. I don't know the answer. Who's their coach?
Callahan.
Bill Callahan?
No.
Bengals?
Brian Callahan.
Brian Callahan.
Yeah.
If you had asked me 10 times right there, give me 10 guesses, I would not have gotten him. I could not think of him at all.
It was he took over for Vrabel. And he was with the Bengals,
Bengals
he was
guy.
The offensive coordinator with the Bengals for years and years.
Yeah.
From 2019 till 2023. Before that, he was a QB coach with the Raiders, with the Lions, and an offensive coaching assistant with the Broncos for about 5 years before that, too.
The hell did he ever do?
He was the offensive coordinator and a team with a good offense. That's it. That's the main thing.
Team with a good quarterback and 2 good receivers.
Right, it's a good offense.
A.K.A. a good offense.
Yeah.
What the hell did he do?
Well.
And he doesn't even call the plays, I don't believe. Didn't Zach Taylor call the plays?
I don't know.
Zach Taylor's an offensive guy. It's
probably,
Zach Taylor's offense.
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell. I don't know if he did or not.
This was a weird offseason. No offense to Alex Van Pelt, but like people were getting jobs that they like their resumes weren't quite as impressive as maybe you would think.
No, I'd agree with that. But I also, look what the Patriots gave a job to. You know, he was a linebacker.
No, I know.
At least this guy was a coordinator.
But Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel can't get jobs, and this guy who's on our screen, no disrespect to him, he seems like a nice fellow. Is he Callahan's son? The offensive line coach, the Bill Callahan?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Don't ask me. I didn't know who he was till 2 minutes ago.
He doesn't look like a football coach.
Well, that seems like a shot.
Well, he doesn't.
What does a football coach look like?
Like you. You look like a football coach, right? Does Andy Hart not look like a football coach? I mean, he looks exactly like one. Yes.
I appreciate that.
Like like a Pop Warner football
coach. Thank you for saying such a nice thing.
Yeah, you look more like a head coach or any kind of football coach than Callahan does. But either way, I think last year and for a couple of years now, if you're an offensive coordinator on a team with a good offense, people are going to give you a shot. People want young, offensive, innovative minds running their teams now, running their offenses, working with their young quarterbacks, working with whatever. I think that's in demand right now. And the Patriots just completely ignored that, as did a couple of other teams. I mean, you know, Jim Harbaugh is not some offensive genius either. But, like, you know, this is sort of the new wave. This is what it is. You know, you're seeing a lot of this, and you're seeing it all over the league. And in some cases, it's really worked out. Some cases, it looked like it worked out, and now not so much, like in Miami. But in general, I think that's sort of the hot new thing now. Get an offensive coordinator from a team with a good offense. If they can shake loose Bobby Slowick, you know, in Houston, it's going to happen for him again.
Yeah, but at least he did it.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, that's all it really takes.
Yeah.
You know, Frank Smith in Miami, like, he's not the play caller, but he's going to be a hot name this time. Ben Johnson in Detroit. All these guys are going to be. That's all it has to be. Just be an offensive coordinator and a team with a good offense, and you could be a head coach next year.
Whether you called plays, didn't call plays, really had much to say. And he is Bill Callahan's son, and actually Bill Callahan is his O-line coach. He's on his own staff. So
that's
a family operation.
That is weird.
Why is that weird? You get all hung up on this nepotism stuff.
No, it's not because it's nepotism. It's because his dad is working for him.
Why?
That's weird. I'm sorry. That's weird. Imagine if Steve Belichick was bossing around Bill Belichick, telling him what to do. Wouldn't that be weird?
I don't rule it out.
You don't think that's weird?
No. I think it actually happens probably more than you'd think.
Really?
And it happens in high school.
It happens in high school that the...
I told you, it's my dream. My dream retirement job is my son someday becomes a teacher and a coach, and I can be his cranky old man assistant coach on the sideline yelling at kids, and that is like my dream.
That's your dream?
Yeah. Fun retirement.
Weird dream.
What's so weird about it?
I think it's weird. I think it's weird to work for your kid. I don't know. I just think that's a strange dynamic. That would be a strange dynamic.
So you hate when the kids benefit from the dad, and then you hate when the dad benefits from the kid.
I think that's less weird, or not less weird, but I don't have a problem with it the way I have a problem with nepotism. I just find it unusual.
And this
all.
Also isn't really nepotism.
I don't consider this nepotism.
He's a good offensive line coach.
Yeah.
He was considered
and he has a long,
great,
long career.
He was in the NFL
his son was even born. So, yeah, obviously.
And he was the Browns O-line. He's not even washed up. He was the Browns O-line coach 2020 to 2023.
Okay.
So, like, he just joined his son. But you don't think that's the best support you could have, having your dad around?
This would be funny. Say, shut up, Dad. Shut up, Dad. I'm talking. I'm addressing my team right now, Dad. Pipe down. Like, that's weird. I don't know. I think that's a strange dynamic. It's at the very least an unusual dynamic, would you say?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's probably not a ton of examples of it. I think, what's his name? The Tampa 2. Kiffin. I think Monty Kiffin coached for Lane.
Really? He worked under Lane? I didn't know that.
I believe he had him on his staff somewhere for a while.
Interesting.
I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. I don't think it's weird.
I think it's weird.
Anyway. You got support from, I mean, it's
definitely
the best support
I'm sure it's
system.
Fine. I find it a little strange. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, Jacina Anderson, big fan of the Spin Zone. And we know that because of her report today on Twitter that the Patriots may be buyers at the deadline instead of sellers. Other trades are being made right now. Why are there so many trades being made these days? We'll dive into all of that right after Stiz tells you what's trending. That was Andy Hart yesterday during the Spin Zone.
You had a sneaky good show yesterday.
I did?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Very subtle at times, like that right there. Do you know why?
I don't.
I didn't. That was
But
tremendous.
You know what? You convinced me.
And then you ended with the
That was a good
the
ending.
Closer.
It was a good one at the
you
end.
Dropped your mic. I had to take my headset off and walk away in shame. I had to tell my family about it when I got home. I felt so
bad.
Yeah,
that was an all-timer yesterday.
It really was. I used to think the Open was the best thing he's brought to this program in our existence. Yesterday you topped yourself.
And the beauty of it was like 10 minutes after we were just talking about it,
and
you would have thought we were all prepared.
Yeah.
No, but it was because the show was ending, and he
was
squeezing in. Oh, like, before we go, the Hernandez. And I was like, yeah, Hernandez. And I knew it. And the reality, and you just...
parodies.
Drop that bomb.
You did.
It's a good one. You wouldn't win in a D's nuts fight with me, but in a physical fight, it seems like the people out there are, on Twitter anyway, voting overwhelmingly. It's the 4-1. You're beating me in that one. So
as it should be,
people believe in you over there. I don't know about the rest of it. Anyway, Jacina Anderson, big fan of the Spin Zone, big fan of Annie Hart's take on the Spin Zone. Tweeted 20 hours ago, I'm told the hashtag Patriots are monitoring the trade market to potentially add talent at wide receiver, defensive tackle, or offensive tackle positions on the heels of the rousing 25-22 win of the New York Jets, supposed to say over the New York Jets, I would think. The trade deadline is November 5th at 4 o'clock Eastern time at Bovada Official. I didn't know she worked for Bovada, but there you go. So that's the report. They're monitoring the trade market.
It was a rousing win.
I was very aroused after that win. I don't know about you. To potentially add talent at wide receiver, DT, or tackle positions. This all sounds fine to me. I just think that you have to define here, and I'll let you do this because this was your take here, but you have to define this not as a trade deadline where they're going out there for elite big-name talents. This is the trade deadline where they go out there, make some small moves, clear out some of the bad culture guys maybe, or upgrade at positions where they have starters who are basically practice squad players, that type of thing. I think that's what we're talking about, maintenance at the trade deadline. Here, not
well,
big blockbuster trades, unless I got that wrong.
I mean, I think that's where the most likely moves would be. I do not rule out. So a lot of people were retweeting this with like a T. Higgins photo.
Right.
I'm not going to rule that out. I'll make a phone call and at least sniff around a little bit. Just ask. Can't hurt to ask. Do I think it's likely that that's what you're going to be landing? But I don't know. I don't know what teams might be motivated to do certain things, dumb things, mm-hmm. reactionary things, pounce on opportunities that present themselves. Because there's nothing the Patriots can't do right now, in my opinion. All avenues are open for them to improve this roster. They have draft picks. First of all, they have openings.
Right.
You know, people could look at it as places to go get a chance, to go get a chance to play, to do something, to have a bigger role, whatever. Then they have the money. Then they have the draft picks. They have everything. They have fresh future. Like, nothing is getting in the way here in New England of you making any move. Do I think T. Higgins is likely? No, I don't think T. Higgins is likely. Adam Schefter yelled at me multiple ways last week when I brought up T. Higgins. Okay, so we don't need to revisit that at 3:45.
I want to have him yell at you some more.
But I think they should be open to everything. And the expanded landscape, I had a couple people just randomly text me yesterday, like, that work in football but not really in with teams, and they're like, is it me or is like the trade deadline becoming much bigger all the time? Like, we've already had multiple Hall of Fame receivers traded.
Yeah.
Multiple quasi number one receivers traded. It just feels like it's now a consideration. He's like,
Christian McCaffrey got traded at the deadline however many years
ago. And you know
what
I think it is?
Deadline trade in season.
I think it's new school.
Yeah.
I think it's younger coaches, younger GMs. I think in the old days it was like, oh, and what's the guy going to do? Is he going to come in and learn the system in October and just play right away? And they were like against it. They were set in their ways. And now the young guys are like, yeah, no, he'll come in, he'll learn. We'll limit it. We'll teach him a small package. And like, they're more open, I think, to these changes. And
10 or 15 years ago, there was hardly any trades at the deadline. I remember one year, Carson Palmer was the only guy who got traded. He was holding out with the Cardinals, I want to say, and he got traded to the Raiders. And I remember that was the only trade that happened that year, whenever that was. And I know it was a long time ago, but like, that was it. You might see one move. You might see a pick swap. You might see something going on here. But it was rare that you saw a big-time trade or even any kind of trades at the deadline. And now it's become a major, major part of team building. I mean, it's just that's what people.
And the Patriots under Belichick were kind of at the forefront of it.
Yeah.
They were very active. Aqib Talib was a huge trade for them. Jimmy Garoppolo was a big trade for them. I would say in a different type of way, maybe more befitting this year. Jamie Collins was a big trade for them.
Sure.
They were pissed off. I remember Devin McCourty saying something to the effect of like, I don't know how you get better by trading your best defensive player or something like that. And that's where I also think the Patriots have opportunities. Gerard Mayo even mentioned today addition by subtraction, which is something you and I have brought up with maybe a KJ Osborne or one of these guys that just maybe isn't really fitting here. But you should be eyes wide open, ears wide open, phones going in all directions. Because I think it was our guy Giardi that said Patriots have made it clear they're open for business. I think he tweeted something like that. And I think most people thought, oh, so they're selling off. Oh,
that's what I thought.
But open for business doesn't have to go one way.
Right.
You can do both. You can do either. And the thing that kept jumping into my mind to cross sports here, everybody gets mad at me when I cross, oh, you always relate everything to football. I'm going the other way this time.
Okay.
Willier Abreu was sort of a nothing addition. Was that 2 years ago now? 3 years ago
now? Yeah, Willier Abreu was, what trade was he?
He might have been.
I think he was part of a trade.
He definitely was part of a deadline trade.
Yeah.
But not a notable name or a notable prospect or a notable big deal. He was just part of a deal.
He was part of the Christian Vasquez trade.
I thought so.
Yeah. It was Abreu and Emmanuel Valdez for Christian Vasquez.
And Vasquez leaving was the story.
Yep.
It wasn't really about who they got. A couple of years later, does it feel like it was about who they got?
Because
he feels like he's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be my point. I would like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever said, Elliot Wolf to make a trade like the Red Sox.
Ooh.
Because if you get a corner or a tackle or a D tackle at this trade deadline that in 2 years is as good as Willy Abreu is for the Red Sox, I think you did something very positive.
But there aren't prospects in football like there are in baseball.
But there are.
There aren't.
There are.
Not really. I mean,
why?
If you're a good young corner, then you're not going to get traded.
No, but there can be multiple good young corners. Patriots have had it here. It could be I'm going to throw a name out there that ended positive, but people have negative connotations. Miles Bryant. Go get a guy like Miles Bryant, who's like the seventh defensive back on a team, but he's better than yours.
Okay, I mean,
and
I guess,
in 2 years, he's your fourth defensive back.
Miles Bryant better than what you have right now?
I knew you were going to fixate. But he was good at the end. He was a much better player at the end than he was at the beginning. He was a functional top five defensive back.
He had ups and downs, I remember him having, I guess.
More downs early and more ups late.
Yeah.
But I think you can find an offensive lineman.
Vikings just found one.
Right.
Right there. Plucked them right out of Jacksonville. I mean, those are the type of moves. See, this is the thing. Like, you see these good teams. This is what usually happens. The good teams raid the bad teams, and they take all their players, and they trade all their draft picks, and that's usually what it ends up being. If you're a bad team trying to reload, you reload with draft picks, not with young players. You don't see that happen.
Why can't a bad team raid a bad team? Be smarter. Go raid somebody. There's other Titans. I don't know. You see their roster close this week. You like somebody. Mm-hmm. Go get them. I think they're
already getting raided.
I think there's opportunities for you to do that. I think there's opportunities. And now, this may be smoke. I don't know how good Josina Anderson's record is. I mean, this is not exactly like Schefter reporting it, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful, but if Schefter comes on here today and says, oh, they're definitely looking to buy, that will really push me in that direction. I'll be interested to see what he says in general about what the Patriots' approach might be here. But no, I think you can. And the other way this could work is people are already bitching about this draft. You just got May. Not everything else stinks. Okay. It's not the only way to build a team.
Right.
So maybe you admit we didn't exactly nail this draft. Maybe we need to pick up a couple players before we get into the free agency and next year's draft and start to. Your roster's not that good.
I'm with you there. I agree with you right there. The Patriots would be smart to get in on that because they draft like crap lately, and they have an owner who's reluctant to really overspend and pay the suck tax to get elite talent. So, I mean, this could be, and look around the league. It's happening much more often now. You're seeing it. This is how you build teams in a different way. You're getting guys when they're not demanding to be paid top dollar at the top of the market. They're usually in the middle of their contract or, you know, towards the end, something like that, and you have at least a year to work it out and see what you have. There, you're not right up against all the salary cap, which again you can maneuver and manipulate if you want to. But I do see the appeal to this. You know, this makes more sense than just putting it all on a draft process that hasn't been working out for you, and the free agency thing where you just keep coming up short because you're unwilling to go that extra mile and attract players to this bad situation. So yeah, make trades where they don't have a say in it. That's the way to do it.
Can I throw a crazy name out there?
Sure.
I don't know if it makes any sense, so I'm going to say, change of scenery type guy, Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams, who just got popped for PEDs?
And also apparently might be getting in trouble for a gun violation in Detroit.
Sounds like a great idea, Andy.
It's where I told you he needed a change of scenery.
I'd say so, yeah.
I can get the 12th pick in the draft, a playmaking wide receiver. Is this his third season? Am I
Jameson
right
Williams,
on
I think it's around there, yeah, sure.
I think you're going to have to be creative at the wide receiver position.
Can you trade for guys when they're in the commissioner's exempt list? Which
suspended
is probably where he's going
and arrested.
Yeah.
Can a guy in jail be traded to another city?
This is his third season, yeah.
Okay. So you don't, I mean, first round
he's
pick.
He's having a good year, too.
You'd have to pick up the first year option coming up, and then, okay, I don't know how. I'm trying to think creatively. I guess that'd be my big takeaway.
He also got suspended in that gambling thing.
Yes.
Remember that? Yeah, so he's got the gambling. He's got the PEDs, which he's not that big of a guy. Was he get taken speed pills?
Probably.
Fast pills?
A little Winnie.
They even exist.
Oh, yeah.
And then now, yeah, you got the this gun charge thing, which we'll see. I mean, that hasn't been adjudicated yet.
Maybe they just, you know, lose interest and say, I'm sick of this crap with him, and they'd maybe they'd unload him for a third round pick, would you send the third round pick for him?
Lot of flags here. A lot of big red flags here.
Okay.
Third round pick, though? Yeah, maybe I would.
Dude's fast.
I might do it.
Dude can make plays. Mm. Especially if you also draft a receiver or get T. Higgins. I'm trying to do the double dip. I don't know if you've noticed. I've been trying to figure out a way to do a double
dip here. Sounds like you want to double dip harder.
Higgins and Cup, McMillan and Williams, McMillan and Cup, McMillan and Higgins. How are we double dipping to get the wide receiver combo that everybody else seems to have?
Good question.
That's what I'm trying to figure out on the fly here. Because you can't just... No, they don't become available on the open market.
No, you draft one and you maybe trade for another one or pick up one in free agency and hope they develop into that or something along those lines. You're right. I mean, oftentimes you don't see these guys making it all the way to free agency. They end up getting snapped up or traded or something else happens. And I think that's if the Patriots want to wait until next offseason to sign free agent wide receivers, they're going to end up being frustrated again. I think just like they were this year. I don't think that's a viable way of going about
it. DK Metcalf?
Sure.
He's always angry, seemingly, with somebody in Seattle, right? Go get him, and they're on the hook for the bonus money. They've already paid him some of the guaranteed money on the deal he signed.
I'd take him here in a second. You kidding me?
Go the other way.
No problem.
Tyler Lockett's getting old. Take him and have him be the veteran in the room, the adult, to teach these guys how to be good. They got to scour the NFL and find an opportunity to get a receiver.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, everybody's talking about trading Kendrick Bourne to the 49ers. They're getting less at the position, not more.
I mean, yeah, but also the addition by subtraction thing that Mayo talked about is not, I don't think, a crazy notion.
But is he an addition by subtraction? I mean, he opens up opportunities, and you're forced to play.
You're forced to play other guys. So
figure it out.
That could be. And I mean, listen, he went out there, he dropped all three balls you saw on Sunday. So
it's
I don't know. Is he
going to trade Booty, too? He dropped a lot of passes, too.
No, because Booty also caught some. Booty also has made some plays this year. Bourne has. He's coming off an injury. He's an older player. I know he's a good locker room guy, but this locker room sucks. So it's like, you know, how much worse is it going to get if he leaves is sort of my point. Yeah. And also, what are you losing in terms of on the field?
Nothing.
Not much.
Right now, nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
That could be addition by subtraction if you're dropping balls.
He's a guy that I just wonder, next year, could he be productive and helpful and good and a veteran presence and your third receiver or whatever it may be? But, yeah, you're not getting anything right now. And if somebody wants to offer me something, I would absolutely consider it.
Taxi keeps asking, would you take trade for Calvin Ridley today? I would. I don't think you would, but I would.
No, I don't really have much. It depends how the contract was structured. Is there a way that I can get him and the contract was structured so that they're... Did they give him a big signing bonus?
I think so, yeah. I think he got a lot.
Because if they gave him a big signing bonus, I'd absolutely take him right now. If they're on the hook for like $40 million and now that's a $50 million deal on the back end for me, I would consider that.
Yeah, I would. I wanted him to begin with, so I'd do that. You know, Jordan Addison from Minnesota, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Is he on the outs? Why do people keep bringing him?
I have no idea. I know there was some troll account that was like, hey, I got a text saying that the Patriots are about to trade for Jordan Addison, which I don't think is a reasonable thing to expect here. Why would the Vikings start trading off their wide receivers? Like, that doesn't make sense. I don't think they would be in the business of doing that with the great start that they're off to. That would be a big surprise. Let me put it to you that way. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll pose these questions and more to Adam Schefter. ESPN Insider joins us right after this. WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkin and Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today. And joining us on the hotline right now is ESPN's Adam Schefter, who's brought to you by Liberty Bank and by Coleman. It's electric. Mr. Schefter, do we have you?
Christian and Andy, how are we doing?
We're doing great. It's great to have you here today as we approach the trade deadline in the NFL. There's reports and rumors out there right now, Adam, that the Patriots, despite being one of the teams that generally are sellers at the deadline, may end up trying to do a little buying. Are you hearing anything like that? And how do you think this trade deadline is going to go for a team like the Patriots? Do you think they'll be active?
Well, I think every team's always looking, and you're not ruling out anything. Again, I think I'd be terribly surprised if you're waiting for them to make some big blockbuster move. I wouldn't expect that. But if you could get a young, talented player on the cheap that you might have a chance to resign, yeah, you'd look at that. But I think that's just – I might be wrong. I just think it's them doing their job. You know, like, what are you going to say? No, we're not looking. We're shutting things out, and we're not interested in anybody that can help improve this team. Like, does that make any sense? So I'm not saying that they – won't make moves. Let's see what happens here. I have not heard them linked to anybody in particular. I don't know how many good young players teams are looking to just give away. And, yeah, if there were an opportunity to add talent, of course you're going to do that.
Adam, you've been doing this a long time. It feels like the trade deadline in the NFL gets more interesting almost every year. I mean, even this year, Hall of Fame wide receivers are being traded, number one wide receivers. Do you agree with that? Has it grown more active over the years, and do you know why that is?
Yeah, well, I think it's a few reasons. I think that there is a younger, more aggressive breed of general managers, and I think some of the older, more traditional general managers have left the league, and some of the young ones have come in and made trades, and sometimes the trades, as was the case with the Rams a few years ago, helped the team win a Super Bowl. When other teams see that, I think that they feel inspired. Now, I've had GMs point out to me, coaches point out to me that a lot of times these trades don't wind up doing good for the teams that acquire the player in many cases. That's certainly debatable, and that's certainly been the case with a number of trades. But the fact of the matter is, I think it's undeniable that the level of activity has increased in recent years. I think it's increased because the GMs are younger, more aggressive. They're following the analytics model. They've seen some teams have success. They don't want to sit around. It's just become a little bit more active. And the thing this year is that the trades have happened earlier than usual, too. Like, it used to be that we would get 3, 4, 5 trades before the deadline. Now we're getting 2, 3 trades a week leading up to the deadline. So while we're all waiting for a busy day on Tuesday, and it will be busy in this country for a lot of reasons, I don't know how much of it's going to have to do with the NFL trade deadline.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's going to be, we may be having lots of different conversations related to those types of things. The Patriots, though, sort of fit the mold. I heard you last week, Adam, talking about Carolina and how they may be shedding some of their wide receivers. Deontay Johnson ends up getting traded. DeAndre Hopkins traded away from Tennessee, another team that's sort of down there at the bottom. That's generally the way these things go. And with that in mind, the Patriots have already sort of gotten in on the act here, trading Josh Uche to the Kansas City Chiefs. So I guess sort of in terms of team building, you're right. You know, these are younger and more aggressive GMs trying to build teams in a different way that doesn't necessarily involve giving out huge contracts or making sure that you hit on every draft pick. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, listen, again, the teams that are in the spot, like the Panthers, like, they have another decision to make, I think, on Adam Thielen. Do I think they want to trade Adam Thielen? No. Do I think they want to keep him around? Yeah. Is he 34? Yes. Is he going to be back next season? Probably not. So if that's the case, why would you not do your organization and him a favor and move on and trade him? And so they could say that they don't want to trade him all they want, but logic says to me that the right thing to do is to move on from a guy like that. And every team has decisions to make that are like this. It's not simple. Like, you know, the Patriots made one with Josh Uche this week, right? They sent him to Kansas City. They didn't get a whole lot back in return, but they felt like that was the right move to make. So, you know, again, every situation, every team's different, every player's different, but that's kind of where we're at going into Tuesday.
Adam, are there any we've had big names, but are there any other big names out there, names that we could keep an eye on between now and Tuesday?
Well, I mentioned Adam Thielen and Mike Williams of the Jets, a couple of wide receivers that are interesting. Christian Kirk would have been in play had he not fractured his collarbone. Za'Darius Smith in Cleveland. Azeez Ojulari with the Giants, the pass rusher. Tre'Davious White. You know, there's a reason that guys are on the block, by and large. So you hear these names, but again, there's a backstory, right? Like, everyone says Deontay Johnson, great player, and he is a great player. But why was Carolina willing to give him away for a flop, right? So there's stories behind every trade like that.
We're talking with Adam Schefter, ESPN. Adam, of course, you know Drake May in the concussion protocol after taking that shot against the Jets on Sunday. He's on step 3, I think it is, where he's only allowed to practice for a half hour today. You've seen other player, Marvin Harrison, some other guys this year, come back the week after going into the concussion protocol. Are you hearing anything about where this may go with Drake May and if they're looking to have him back on Sunday?
Well, I think it's the kind of thing where, yeah, you'd like to get him back, but typically, most players don't make it back for the next week. And so It's just, if you look at it, I think the average return to play is about 8 days. And I think if you got a young quarterback, you're going to be even more careful than normal. So I know he was listed as limited today, and I know there's a chance that he could make it back, and I know they'll give him every opportunity. But just on its surface, my general reaction would be, I probably would be a little surprised if he did make it back and clear through, but every player is different with every concussion protocol.
Adam, a couple weeks ago in London, I think there was some perception that Doug Peterson might have been playing the Patriots for his job. He got the win. We've seen Saleh get fired already. Where does sort of that head coaching carousel midseason stand? Are there guys that you think maybe let go during the regular season, or is it going to wait till the end of the year at this point?
Just like the trading cycle is heated up and it happens in advance of the trade deadline now, I think the firing cycle also has accelerated, where it used to be that, to me, hunting season, as I think you could refer to it as, for head coaches started right around Thanksgiving. And now we've already seen one head coach fired in Robert Saleh. I'm not telling anybody's getting fired anytime soon, but would it shock me if there was a coach fired next week, the week? No. If we go back to the trade deadline last year, I remember getting home from ESPN that day, and I was completely exhausted. I get into bed that night. I fall asleep about 10:30, and I wake up at 12, and there were like three texts that the Raiders were firing Josh McDaniels on Halloween night last year, you know, literally hours after the trade deadline. And that's just kind of what the coaching cycle is right now. Everything has kind of kicked up. I think any coach whose team is underperforming at this time of the year, there's going to be a question about. Period. You can apply it to any coach on any team because of the day and age that we live in, because of the scrutiny, because of the impatience, because the owners have more money than ever before. Like, you could apply it to anybody just about at any time. All right. If you want.
Before we let you go here, Adam, would you consider the New York Jets to be the biggest disappointment in the league at the halfway point so far?
Well, I think as somebody pointed out this week, I think everybody could agree, if we look back at the Patriots over the last couple of decades, is it fair to say that heading into this season that there may never have been lower expectations for this team over the past two decades? Is that fair to say?
Yes, it's 100% fair to say, yes.
Okay. And I think we could look back at the Jets heading into this season with Aaron Rodgers coming back and Woody Johnson saying it's the best collection of talent that he's seen in his 25 years as an owner, that the expectations for the Jets this year were never higher than they've ever been than this past year. Now we're coming off a Sunday in which the low-expectation Patriots beat the high-expectation Jets to leave both teams after eight games with identical 2-6 records.
All right. Well, I'd say the prosecution rests right there. Adam Schefter, thanks so much. Great to talk with you as always, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Guys, thanks so much. Have a great week. And when we talk next week, we'll have been through quite a damn Tuesday one way or another.
That's true. We'll probably still be looking for answers on that other thing. But, yeah, the trade deadline will be over, that's for sure. Thanks, Adam.
Have a great week.
All right. That's Adam Schefter, the great Adam Schefter at ESPN, joining us here.
Really cracked himself up with that
EEI Afternoons. Hey, you know, you got a good zinger. You got to let it go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. It's the guest corner of the show here on Wednesdays, which means, Scal's coming up next. We'll talk with Brian Scalabrine of the NBC Sports Boston Celtics TV broadcast right after this.